I teach in statistical and data sciences at the moment. I have a PhD in statistics from UCLA, but I would consider myself a data scientist, someone who's sort of straddling the worlds of statistics and computer science and thinking about solving problems, real-world problems with data. I'm tweeting at AmeliaMN if you're on Twitter at all. And I just wanted to take my time to kind of open up some questions that I'm interested in. One of them in particular is about making spatial aggregation more transparent, but I'm kind of a new faculty member. This is my third year as a faculty member, and I don't know what conjunction to use there, but, so, and I have many research interests. So I'm interested in statistical computing. A lot of my research is about making tools easier for people to use when they're doing statistical computation. I'm really committed to reproducible research, statistics education, data visualization. I'm interested in spatial statistics. I've done some stuff with citizen science and participatory sensing. So I think there's a lot of crossover with the group here. But I would say that the sort of thing that draws all my research interests together is the idea that I want to make it easier for everyone to do and to understand data science or statistics. And so you can see I teach at an undergraduate institution. I'm going to another undergraduate teaching focused institution. So part of that, you know, making it easier for people, the people are undergraduate students. But I think that there is a much broader audience that data science needs to be speaking to, which is sort of like everyone. So understanding statistics and the ways that data gets used feels like a part of our democracy because it gets used in many ways to make decisions about people's lives that have these huge impacts on them. So I want everyone, even if you're not doing data science, to be able to better understand the products of data analytic work. And then just sort of, again, with my broad interests, these are the most recent talks that I've given. Just last week, I talked about data science as a superpower. I've talked about the ways that scientists use computers and do programming. I'm a major R user, so I teach Intro to R workshops. I talk about algorithmic accountability, how people interface with data. I gave a talk which is on YouTube, and some of these slides are based on, called How Spatial Polygons Shape Our World, at OpenVizConf, actually in Boston last year, I believe. And then the bottom one is sort of about my research about statistical computing tools and how we could change them and improve them to maybe be more modern. So my belief is that right now, when you're going to go and do data analysis, you sort of have two choices. You could use a tool that was designed for learning to do statistics. So there's these things called like Fathom and Tinkerplots that are really like graphical. They make it very intuitive what's happening with the data, but they don't work on big data. They don't have the same kinds of machine learning models in them that you might want to use. Or you can go and use a real tool for doing statistics or data science, which might be Python or R or maybe SAS or SPSS, something like that. And those are much harder to get started using, but they're much more powerful. So you have this kind of trade-off. I teach R. I think that novices can learn R. I've taught high school students to program in R. So that's kind of the best case scenario that we have going on right now. But I think that because we have the power of computer technology, that we could do better than that. And so one of my interests is how computer tools could make it more clear how decisions you are making in your analysis are impacting your final results. So this is an essay that I wrote with a collaborator about how histograms are constructed. So many people, when they see a histogram, they don't really understand what it's telling them, that it is taking data and aggregating it in some way to give you a general sense of some distribution, right? So we wrote this interactive essay, which shows you, you know, lining up the data on a number line, piling it up in these piles, and then aggregating it up. It's getting kind of washed out on the screen, but And the link is off the bottom of the screen. It's tinlizzy.org/histograms, and I'll tweet a link after this talk if you are on Twitter. You can also Google exploring histograms. That should get you there. So we wanted this to be used as a teaching tool. So if people were teaching a data analytics class, that they could use this to help their students understand that the parameter choices you're making when you build a histogram have a big impact on the distribution you see. So if you change the bin width of your histogram or the bin offset of your histogram, you can really change what the distribution looks like. So I think I'll play with that a little bit more directly here. So, you know, taking the same data and just adjusting the bin width, although leaving the bin offset the same, and then you could take the same bin width, but look at the impact of the bin offset. And I think if you use a tool that is not very graphical, like R, for example, it's easy to just leave the defaults in. Say, I'm just going to use whatever bin width algorithm, like, that you have in there, and I'll just pick those bins, and that's the distribution. And there's many places in the analytic pipeline where we're using defaults and we're not aware of the downstream consequences of those choices. So other than using this as an illustration, something that could be used in a class to teach students about these impacts, we also wanted this to be sort of a call to action for people who design tools to say, you could make this functionality built into your tools. And I think that this would improve the intuition of everyone, not just novices, but also experts, if they had the ability to adjust the bin widths of the histogram or the bin offset and just see how that changes it. So that's kind of a simple example. And so Aaron Lunzer and I wrote this essay together, and this was just a one-dimensional distribution of a histogram. And so then we started thinking about two dimensions and how you could do the same kind of binning distribution and look at the effects in two dimensions. And that's what led me to start thinking about spatial statistics. So this is a first draft of a similar tool that Aaron and I put together. And again, the link is off the bottom of the page. But it is allowing you to look at some underlying point data. And because I'm in this group, I'm sure you're going to recognize what the data is and that I made sort of a dumb choice. But I happen to have data about earthquake locations on my computer. So that's what this is. Mostly we're trying to illustrate that you could have a tool that would let you show, okay, what does it look like if I aggregate that data, you know, count up how many earthquakes were in this hexagon, and then look at the distribution. So sometimes you see a hotspot in one particular area, but just adjusting the orientation of those bins can really change the visual distribution. And so this tool lets you do squares or hexagons, but we were interested in what if you had pre-aggregated data? What if, because that's how data comes to us a lot of times. It's aggregated at the zip code level, the county level. You know, we've seen problems like the Flint water crisis that were precipitated in part because of spatial aggregation. So we'd love to have a tool that let you see, well, what if I just nudged those zip code boundaries over a little bit or the voting districts over a little bit. And that's obviously a hard problem, I'm sure you're all aware. So that got me into thinking about, you know, sort of upscaling, downscaling, and then what I'm most interested in, sort of side scaling. If you have pre-aggregated data and you want to get aggregated data at another polygon level, so maybe using pycnophylactic interpolation, area-to-area kriging, something like that, I'd love to talk with people if they have good solutions. But again, I think these, you know, the histogram and the spatial example, for me, those are illustrations of places where I want to make it more transparent to people who are looking at data analytic products, how the analytic decisions, the parameter choices, impacted what they're seeing at the end of the analysis. Thanks.